May my speaking and all our thinking be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Normally, I get paid after I preach. I messed up this morning, so I got paid before I preach. If there's more money there, we'll do it this way in the future. And Margit, after the sermon, we will go, we'll have you sing the anthem, and then I'll find my way up to the altar and I'll do the blessing from there. Okay. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and pitch and put the child therein and laid it in the flags by the river's brink. We are celebrating Mother's Day today. Mother's Day at All Saints is a wonderful, joyful celebration that we have made part of the tradition of this church. I learned as a headmaster that traditions can be established very quickly. If the seniors roll the campus on the night before prom, even just 1 year, then it is a tradition, and it has a right to be done in perpetuity. There's nothing you can do to stop it without looking like the man, you know, the Grinch who stole Christmas, if you destroy a tradition. But on Mother's Day, we are not a church family that is tone deaf. We understand the pain felt by mothers who have lost a child and how difficult this day is for them. We understand the pain felt by those who have not known a mother's love, and the pain felt by those who long to be mothers, but who cannot conceive. Our hearts go out to those whose loss of a mother is still raw, and to mothers who suffer anguish because they are separated from their children. National Public Radio just this week has been discussing the number of women in America who die in childbirth. They've quoted statistics that say that the percentage is the highest in the developed world, 3 times the percentage in Canada, and 6 times the percentage in the Scandinavian countries. There have been heart-wrenching interviews. On Mother's Day, NPR did not want us to be tone-deaf to another complexity of motherhood. The ancient Jewish story of the birth of Moses, which we read today, is another example of a situation in which motherhood was hard. It's the story of a child who was born into a hostile, dangerous world. His mother's instincts to protect her newborn are at the heart of the narrative. And we know there are plenty of mothers in our world who give birth in similar, unsafe circumstances. The Egyptians became alarmed at how the immigrant Israelites were thriving in Egypt, so the Pharaoh ordered a genocide. The Hebrew midwives were ordered to kill their own people's boys at birth. The girls could live. The midwives disobeyed the order, and Pharaoh realized that he couldn't trust them to do his bidding, and therefore Pharaoh put out an edict that was binding on everyone. anybody who found an Israelite baby boy was to throw him into the Nile. Moses' mother loved her baby. Of course she did. Exodus tells us that she saw he was a goodly child. What mother doesn't believe that her baby is the prettiest that she has ever seen? So Moses' mother hid him for 3 months, but as his crying got louder, she knew the risks of him being discovered were becoming too great. She saw only one opportunity to save him, but it itself involved enormous danger. She made an ark for him and hid it in the reeds beside the river. She was hoping a kind stranger would see him and rescue him. It was an act of desperation. The chances of a happy ending to that story had to be minimal. This was truly an anguished mother who did this. And a mother's anguish for her child is surely one of the rawest emotions one can imagine. In many ways, Mother's Day, which we are celebrating, had its roots in anguished motherhood. Anna Reeves was born in Virginia in 1832. When she was 19, she married Granville Jarvis, and they moved to West Virginia. She had 12 children, but 8 of them died before they reached the age of 7. Somehow, she managed to harness her personal pain and determined that she would find a way to work for the day when mothers would not lose their children to disease. She recruited other mothers to work with her, and they organized themselves into mothers' workday clubs. They all agreed to set aside one day a week to raise money, to buy medicine for needy families, primarily for those that were stricken by tuberculosis and cholera. They also worked with doctors to ensure clean water and the safe disposal of sewage. During the Civil War, the clubs determined to be strictly neutral. They would nurse wounded soldiers no matter to which side they belonged. Their rationale was that all wounded men are the loved child of a mother. And after the war, that same attitude continued to mark their work, and their goal became healing enmities and repairing a ruptured country. Anna Jarvis was a heartbroken mother who worked for a happier motherhood for others. She died in 1905 at the age of 72. She named one of her daughters by her maiden name. She was Reeves Jarvis. Reeves never married, and so she never was a mother. But she had such respect for what her mother had done that she set herself to work tirelessly to honor her mother by getting the nation to set aside a day to honor mothers. In her mind, it had to be a Sunday because she wanted it to be a holy day. She also hoped it could be the second Sunday in May, because that was the day on which her mother died. She insisted that Mother's Day would be spelled with the apostrophe between the R and the S and not after the S. That made it a singular possessive. This was to be a day for honoring individual mothers, not collective motherhood. It took her nearly 10 years of tirelessly campaigning until in 1914, Woodrow Wilson signed the congressional resolution recognizing the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. Mother's Day can be a day to say a heartfelt thank you to our mothers if they are still alive. Anna Jarvis said, a single white carnation and a handwritten note would be the best way to accomplish that. It can be a day to visit a grave or to say a prayer of gratitude for mothers who are no longer with us, and I hope you will. It can be a day to repair that sad brokenness that is part of so many families. It can be a day when we hear a call to action on behalf of families or children or peace, and Anna Jarvis would like that. It can be a day when mothers rededicate themselves to the work of mothering. It should be a day of special closeness to all those we love. Mothers would want that. I believe it is important that we bring Mother's Day into church and that we celebrate it here. It respects Anna Jarvis' desire that it be a holy day, a sacred day, not simply a secular commercial holiday. Amen.